Welcome to Amherst Baptist Church. We have some guests with us today. I just want to let you guys know, you guests in particular, today's service is going to be different than our normal service. You are welcome to join us as we behave and act and share as a family. We call this Celebration Sunday. It's a chance for folks to share testimonies, and we're going to do that with opportunities. I have a few people lined up, so to speak, who are going to share, and then others who might just raise their hand and want to share a brief testimony of what God's been doing in their lives, what God's been teaching them in their lives, how God's been using them, and just a time of excitement, really. If you are a guest with us this morning, there's a card in the pew or the chair ahead of you. It says, let us get to know you. We would like to do that. Opportunity to connect with you in some fashion. On the back side of that card is a place for prayer concerns. If you have a prayer concern this morning and would like to share it, if you get that anytime, just get up and walk out, give that to my wife, and we'll collect those. And later in the service, we'll take time to pray for those concerns. Normally, we do that at the end of the service. This week, we're going to do it a little further up in the service because we have a lot going on with all these testimonies, with these songs, and with some other things that we want to talk with you about as we gather together as a family. So there are lots of things in your bulletin. If you check that out, a lot of events, a lot of activities, information about our food pantry, need for supplies and donations to that, opportunities for more workers, more volunteers, and so forth. I want to thank those who came out yesterday to do some things around the church building. If you noticed on the glass out there, there's a list of a bunch of different projects. Many of them say done, because there was a team here yesterday that worked for a few hours and got those things done. Thank you to those who have done all of that. I want to start this morning just with an opening prayer. We'll pray for our offering. We don't pass plates. There are offering boxes in the back. You can give online. You can give through our website if you choose to do so. We're not asking anybody to do anything that God's not called you to. Ask Him what He'd have you do, then do that. But let's pray. Lord God, we thank You for the opportunity to be here today, to be in Your presence, first of all, to be in this place that You have prepared and provided for us, and to be with one another. Again, a family that You have prepared for us. We pray that we would do everything You've called us to do in our role within the family, that we wouldn't stand back and watch, but we would be fully engaged, fully participating, and fully open to what You want to do in our lives to transform us. We want to see You. We want to know truth. We want to be transformed. And so we submit ourselves to You today in this event, a little different than normal, but we pray that You would use it for Your glory. We do pray for the offering this morning, that whatever is given would be at Your behest, and it would be used of Your Spirit, that we would be good stewards of it to accomplish Your will, to expand Your kingdom, and to bring glory to Your name. So we bring all this before You today. We submit to You and say again, we want to be transformed. May You work that out in our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to get started right away, Anne. Well, maybe I'll wait till Rich gets back. Rich is out running an errand, and he'll be back shortly. I'd prefer for him to be here for that. Donna, can I put you on the spot first? Okay, so Donna and Ann are two of our prearranged testimonies. Feel free.
The first thing I wanted you to know is that Pastor Eric is going to be doing a study on experiencing God. I took that study at Sunrays, and it just opened my eyes so tremendously to being able to experience God in everyday life. Our life is in the marketplace. Our life is at work. Our life is at school. Our life is with our families. And because we carry Jesus in our very beings with the Holy Spirit, we can share wherever we're at. So what I wanted to do was just to confess something that happened to me. I, 2 years ago, had asked Peggy Balanin to watch for a place for me to go in the wintertime, maybe for a month or two, in Florida, because I had done that in the past, and I don't like the winter. So she said she would. And then I was online. The places were too expensive, so I couldn't do that. I was going online for several days and couldn't find a place. Peggy Balanin, the very next day after I surrendered my desire to go to Florida, I said to the Lord, I guess I'm going to have to spend the winter in Buffalo, all right, whatever Your will is. The next day, Peggy called me and said that there was a place not only just to rent, but really cheap to buy. And she told me to call the realtor, and the realtor said, well, they haven't even finished remodeling, but I'll walk you through it. And I bought it that day. So winter, just for 3 months, a year and a half ago, was great. I got to meet some beautiful people and got involved with people in Florida. But the next thing that happened that I wanted to share with you about surrendering was that I knew I was going to Florida in December, and I always give gifts, beautiful gifts, to family and friends. So I bought $440 worth of items from a Christian catalog. And the day they were supposed to deliver it was supposed to be in the afternoon. And so, oh, I have time to go shopping. I went food shopping. I pulled up, and there was my box at the door. And I said, oh, I better put my groceries away in the refrigerator before I get the box. Put the groceries away, went outside, and the box was gone. And I went, I'm upset. So I called my insurance company, and no, they wouldn't cover it, because I have $500 deductible, not $440. So I called my daughter, and this insurance lady was just so beautiful. She was so kind to me and sympathetic to me. I really appreciated her. Then I called my daughter, and this lady had told me that there was a woman going around in that area stealing boxes. And it may have been her, may not have been her. So I told my daughter that, and I told my daughter, I'm very upset. And my daughter said, I'll pray for you, Mom. And she prayed that whoever took it would bring it back. I said, okay, that's pretty good, all right. So the next thing, I open my scripture, and it says, be joyful always. This is 1 Thessalonians 5:28. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I still didn't feel settled. Anyway, I called my friend Diane. Diane prayed the same thing, that they're not going to want what's in that box, and they were going to bring it back to me. Well, the next day came, and I finally said in the morning, Thursday, Lord, I'm just going to give it to you. I'm just going to release it. I'm not going to fret about it any longer. And I gave it to God. Following day, Friday, I had to go to a banquet for Sunrise Ministries. And as I walked out my side door to get to the garage, behind my house was my box. Why didn't they want it? Because they pulled out a package of bags that were gift bags to be given to people. And on it, it says, blessed is she who believes. And that's why they gave it back. Releasing, when you release to God, he does beautiful things. He loves me with an unconditional love. I went to Florida with my sisters, and I've been a witness to my sisters for several occasions where I was able to pray for people. One in particular was really out of the box. I had to go to Best Buy, sisters were with me, and a woman behind me had a shirt on that said, Waymaker, Promise Keeper, Miracle Worker. And I turned to her and I said, he's my God too. And as I was leaving after being taken care of, she grabbed my arm and said, my name's Cheryl. If you think of me, would you just pray for me? I have some health issues. So I said, let's do it right now. So in Best Buy, we prayed for healing for her. I don't know the outcome, only God knows the outcome, but it's a witness to my two sisters who really have not given their hearts to the Lord. They were there when I prayed for my neighbor across the street who had cancer of his bladder. They were there when I prayed for Roz in our exercise class who was in tears because a friend who was going to see if the biopsy comes back with cancer of the uterus. And my sister Maureen said to me, after you prayed with Barbara, my friend, the two of us, after you prayed, did you see how her countenance changed? God is there. He's there with you, with our prayers. So the countenance, because it she got peace. She came back next week and said, there's no cancer.
Amen.
God is so good. And God hears our prayers. And he knows what we need. And he knows what people of God need. The very first scripture we were asked to memorize in experiencing God is in John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. Anyone who remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit. Then this is so important. It says, without me, you can do nothing. That's the last part that's so important. Sorry, I almost messed it up. But without me, you can do nothing. And that's who we take with us when we go and reach out to people. And in the name of Jesus, I ask that you too go out into the marketplace with Jesus in your hearts, your minds, and also with all the love you can. I ask him to bless you all.
Amen.
Thank you.
For those of you who weren't close enough to Donna, she has a little purple bracelet on that says, pray first.
That's it. Pray first. Ask God what he'd have you do, then do that, even if it's difficult, even if it's uncomfortable. He's going to carry us through those things. I'm going to do one more thing here, and then we'll do another song, if you would, Eric. Just a couple updates. Ernie Hefner had been waiting to have a heart valve replacement for months. He got sick and had to put it off. He got sick again, had to put it off, had gallbladder surgery, had to wait until that healed. This past Thursday, Ernie got his new heart valve. He was home on Friday, I believe, right? Friday. And a visiting nurse was there Saturday morning. Everything's going fine. And so, according to Margie, they may be in church next week. We'll see. But he's doing really well, and you are certainly welcome to clap for that. One last little administrative thing. There's a lost and found table out here. One of the things the work crew did yesterday was gather up everything that's just been left around. And so if you think you're missing something, like a jacket or a glove, not a pair, just one glove, it's out there in the lobby, and I'd encourage you to pick that up before you leave.
I'm going to come to Anne now and let her share. She also has notes, so we'll see.
Hello. Is that loud enough? A few months ago, maybe a month ago, Scott showed us this game. It was Huckabuckle Beanstalk. It was something hidden in plain sight. And I thought about that, and I said, what is hidden in plain sight in my life? And you know what came to me? It was Romans. We've been studying Romans on Zoom. And one of the things that has been made clear to me was about the law, following the law. And I thought that, that the law is good. It's very good. But I saw that with the law, it is good, but it brings you to salvation because we cannot keep the law. And I thought, wow, I've been a Christian 40-something years, and I always thought that I need to follow the law. It was so frustrating because I tried following it, and then I would not follow it too good, and then I would get all upset and guilty. And I remember Good Friday, I came here and I ran up to Scott and I said, I found it. I know what it's like. You can't follow the law. You have to follow the one commandment or three commandments that God gave us. And it was love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And the second one is just as important is love your neighbor as you love yourself. And I thought, you know what? Without that commandment, we cannot do it without the Holy Spirit. And that's one of the things that brought to me such freedom, and to just to be able to love somebody in the spirit of Jesus. And I just wanted to share that with you, and I just thank you for Zoom, because without it, I don't think I would have gone in very deep and studied like I do, and I so appreciate Zoom. And the third commandment I found, there isn't really a third commandment. Did you all know that?
Love yourself.
What is it? It is. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So that was really the third commandment. Did I get that right, Scott?
That sounds good. That sounds good. Thank you, Ann. Thank you. Each summer, or recently anyway, there's a project in Buffalo, 8 Days of Hope. Jackson, if you could have that video ready. We're going to watch a brief promotional for that event. It's 8 Days of Hope, which basically goes from Saturday to Saturday, I believe, right? And so we're going to watch this. Just be in prayer for the event and how it impacts our neighbors and our neighborhoods, but also whether or not God would have you be part of it. Jackson?
Hey friends, Steve Tyburn with 8 Days of Hope. We've got some exciting news. 8 Days of Hope Buffalo is happening again this July, and you're invited. Hanging out with Nicole Germain, who's been at all 3 8 Days of Hope Buffalo outreaches, plans to be here again in the Lovejoy District in July. We're here at Schiller Park. This is going to be our community project. And Nicole, what keeps drawing you back to serve with us here in Buffalo?
Honestly, Steve, it's the people. I love serving the people, and I love seeing the community come together. People from all across the country come and serve my hometown, and it's just an exciting time of fellowship and service. And I just can't wait to see you all. See you in July.
8 Days of Hope Buffalo is happening July 15th to the 22nd, and everyone's invited. For our out-of-town volunteers, we provide food and lodging, and all the information is on our website at 8daysofhope.com. As a special bonus this year, Ben Fuller is putting on a free concert on July 20th, and we can't wait to see you there. If you serve at least 3 days with 8 Days of Hope, we'll gift you a one-day pass to attend Kingdom Bound at Six Flags Darien Lake. Matthew West, Skillet, and We the Kingdom all will be there with so many others. Come hang out with us July 15th to the 22nd. All the information is on our website, 8daysofhope.com.
And love your neighbor as yourself. Opportunities to do so. Jackson, how about salt and light? As a church family, we've been memorizing scripture. We've been memorizing the Sermon on the Mount. We're in the middle of chapter 5. This particular passage is a review for us. If you'd stand with me, if you don't know it, you can read it because it'll be on the screen. And a little bit later, perhaps we'll look at the next verses we're working. And we've just finished up the verses on divorce and the verses on oaths is coming up next. But let's do salt and light as a review. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Matthew 5, 13 to 16. You may be seated. Jackson, go ahead and run the video for the Guatemala, and then we'll do a song, and then Jackson can share a testimony from there.
Thank you. What are your first impressions of being in Guatemala?
Seeing all the people that are like super happy and they're talking and they're in groups, and it was just so cool to see all that. And then on top of that, on the rooftop of our hotel, we have a volcano. We have actually three, but we can see them erupt. We can just see the beauty of the trees on there, and it's just so pretty.
How are we feeling?
I just remembered four things. Heart, divide, cross, question. Filter penetration is super easy. Feel like it'll be all good after the first house. It was cool to see that like now they'll be able to have clean drinking water, and like they were very receptive. We went to two homes, and there was only like one person we talked to, both females, but they both accepted the good news of Jesus, which was awesome. My experience sharing the gospel was different for both sessions. It felt like going back to being a counselor with young teen girls and just relating it to how they would understand it. It's very cool to talk to someone who has a language barrier, but then they understand and we all become family. I have worked with a team of three or four people plus our translator. And it's actually been really, really nice. I know when I was growing, sharing the gospel, I had Chris or Jackson to jump in. Or when we are sharing the gospel, our translators can go on and just preach to the people of San Lorenzo. And it's just really cool to have a community that you can rely on. So on this trip, I had the opportunity to work with kids and go to a school and be able to share the gospel with kids. I've always been wondering if I'm on the right path with what I'm going to do with my future. And I feel like God answered that, being like, you're on the right track. You're doing what you're supposed to do. That was pretty awesome to get my eyes opened to something that I've been wanting to see. That's what I hoped for in the beginning, and now it's good.
I've asked Jackson now to share that video about Guatemala. It was a trip that he was on, but he was always behind the camera at that time, and so he's going to share his experiences.
Good morning. So I've been back for about a month. That was a trip that my crew group at Buffalo State College, took over spring break. There were about nine of us that went from my campus. We met up with four people who came from Santa Barbara, and we were working with an organization that was called Filter of Hope. And basically what they do is they operate in about 10 different Central American countries, and they provide these clean water filters to communities that don't have access to clean water. It's a widespread problem down in that region. When we went in 2019 to the DR, it was similarly scarce in finding clean water supplies, and so these filters are good for about 10 years, and what they ask these volunteers to do on these trips is to take those filters, go to people's homes, be in the community, partner with the local churches there who provide the translators, and also scout out the right areas, do work getting to know the people, and then say, hey, these places are ready for you to come. So we went down there, and it was a very cool experience for a lot of reasons. But I think one of the things that probably stood out the most to me was just being presented with this opportunity where every day for about 6 hours of my day, I was going into this community with people I had never met. With each person's house that we went to, we were doing these filters, but we were also sharing the gospel with them. And that's an opportunity that obviously we have ample opportunity to do here. We live in a country that doesn't oppress people for sharing the gospel. And yet, I think that sometimes, I know myself, I get in this almost more armchair mentality when it comes to my faith and my obligation through the Great Commission that tells us to go share the word and preach the gospel to all nations. Here in America, we We sit back and we come to church, and we know that this is an obligation. And maybe a couple times throughout the week, we try to be light to the people around us or to influence them, but very rarely are we just coming up to people that we've never met and simply sharing the gospel with them. And so it was cool to get the training, I guess, and to get in the habit of doing that there, because we would go to these houses and we would get to know the people before we started doing anything. And some of the visits, I remember there was one in particular. We were encouraged to stay at people's houses as long as we needed to, but this was the last visit of this particular day, and I knew that the bus was going to be picking us up soon. And so in my mind, I had this time frame of just wondering, like, how are we going to get through the demonstration and talking to them and also sharing the gospel and have it mean anything, because in 10 minutes, in my mind, I didn't see that as being sufficient enough to be able to reach their hearts. And so, as I very commonly did during that trip, I just committed it to God and said, look, God, there's not any words that I'm going to be able to say anyway, even if I had all the time in the world, that are going to reach these people's hearts how they need to be reached, and certainly not within this time frame. So I pray that you would just be the only one that's using us to pour the words that they need and to do it within this time frame. And by the end of it, all the people in the house, there were probably three or four of them, were in tears and just open and receiving this message. And that's how it was for a lot of the houses we went to. We probably hit 75 to 80 houses in this one community in the end, and many of the people there did accept the gospel. And so I know it was a challenge for me, and I would say it should be a challenge for all of us, that when we are here in the country and in kind of this more comfortable space, but also less oppressed space, or certainly more blessed, that we do feel the urgency to treat the people around us in the same way, and to focus on that commission that we have, and using every opportunity that we do have to present that gospel to people, but also to surrender it in God's time frame and using the words that he gives us.
Great. Thanks, Jax. And love your neighbor as yourself. And who is my neighbor? It's whoever's in need. And who is in need? Those who don't know that they need Jesus Christ in our lives. And so we need to be bold, not armchair Christians, not waiting for that big bright light that says now is the time, but to always be on point, on task, on the task of sharing the gospel with those around us. In your bulletin today, there are a couple different handouts, if you will. One of them is a trifold thing. It's called the Week of Prayer for the Frontier Baptist Association. For those of you who don't know, our church is the Southern Baptist Church here in Western New York. We're part of this association, Frontier Baptist. It's about 40 churches in the 8 counties of Western New York. We just had our mid-year meeting yesterday where the focus was on prayer. And as it turns out, this is also the week of prayer for the association. If you look down through that, you'll see each day this week there's an opportunity and a call for us to pray for the various churches in our association. But the day, Sunday, is to pray for Bev and Mike Flannery. And that in particular is a need, if you will, in that Mike's younger brother Mark passed away this past Tuesday. He had a heart attack on Monday, passed on Tuesday. He was in Boston. Mike was in Boston yesterday for the funeral. And we pray for his family as you pray for these things. Also, as you look down through there, Amherst Baptist is one of the first, alphabetically, for us to pray for. Sheridan Parkside is in there as well. And so I'd encourage you to use this as a guide through the week to make sure that we're praying for one another in the ministry that we've engaged ourselves with. That is not to say that we don't pray for the chapel or Kenmore Alliance or other churches that are proclaiming the gospel, but just this focus this week is on our own association, so I'd encourage you in that. Also in your bulletin today, there's a half-sheet flyer talking about membership. We don't talk about membership a great deal, but it is an important thing. But the first thing on there is the reality that the first and most important step is your membership in the body of Christ, in the church of God. Have you surrendered yourself and receive the forgiveness that Jesus offers, that Jesus made possible through his death on the cross, his resurrection, his ascension, where he now sits at the right hand of the Father. He offers us to be reconciled to God. That's the first step. Then if God has called you to be part of this fellowship, then there's some more comments about what that process looks like and so forth. But I want you to understand, This is going to sound kind of funny, but we don't want you here if this is not where you're supposed to be. God has a place for each of us. If you're here today just to hear that, to know that you're supposed to be someplace else, then God's work is being done. But we would love to have you here just the same. We're not pushing anybody out the door either. But if you would consider whether or not God has called you to be part of this fellowship and what that looks like and what that really means in terms of first a commitment to Christ and then a recognition that God has called you to be part of us, then to follow him in obedience in baptism if you have not been baptized, and so on. And so that's all laid out for you there. Don't want to spend any more time on it really this morning except to point that out to you. In a few minutes, we will have a time of prayer for those prayer concerns that have come in. If you've written something down but haven't gotten it to Laura yet, you can either take it out to Laura or hand it to me or whatever. In a few minutes, Jack will be praying for those issues as well. And at this point, do you have another song you'd like to share with us? And then we'll move on from there.
Let me just take this moment, as you're talking about opportunities to fellowship and such this coming weekend, a week from now, starting on Friday, there is the family camp that I know you want to see Catherine about. She's does a great job of organizing that, and I know there's a couple spots left that we'd love to have you a part of the Allegheny trip. So next week, it's going to look a little different around here. I'll be leading here, Sky will be leading down there in Allegheny. Some of us will be here, some of us will be there. And but we will have service here, not to worry. The man you saw up there on that on the screen before, Mr. Tiber, Steve Tiber, he's a Buffalonian who moved out of here for a while. God gave him this vision for this beautiful ministry that is now countrywide. If you're, and Steve has spoken here before, he's given some of his testimony of how God pulled him up from basically on the verge of death and despair and saved him incredibly and gave him a heart and gave him a heart for the people who are just suffering the most. So when Katrina came in and he was sitting there in Mississippi where he had moved to, and that gave him just an opportunity to go and start this ministry. Let's go and care for a couple houses. He had construction in his background. He and his father came from Buffalo down there, and it just opened up the invitation. Hey, let's go and meet some needs. And if I recall correctly, it was something like 1,000 people showed up to do the ministry with him down in Katrina. And it kind of just blew up from there. They have an amazing ministry. One of their centers is right here in Buffalo on Kensington Avenue. They have chosen for the last 3 years, this will be the fourth year, they've chosen three different neighborhoods. Or is this third year? I get mixed up. I think it's the fourth year, I think. But we're going to Lovejoy neighborhood, as stated there. I think he mentioned that. Lovejoy neighborhood, which is the east side. And we are going to be going. We are going to have some representation from our youth ministry and such. It doesn't have to be 8 days that you do it. You could come for an afternoon. You can come for a few hours. You can come for the 3 days. You can come for 5 days. You can come for 8 days. We're going to facilitate you because I know that this is an amazing touch of God. At least 150 houses a year are being touched in some way. People are seeing Christ through the church. And what's happening? Thousands of people are coming from across the United States, landing here in Buffalo. Thousands of people from Buffalo are landing in Lovejoy this year, and thousands upon thousands are going and doing all kinds of stuff. The guys who did our roof here, they're right across, the Christian guys, they do several roofs in this project every single year, as does several of the other Russian, there are a lot of Russians that do roofs, and so our Russian community is very active in the 8 Days of Hope. I strongly urge you to consider that week of the 15th through the 22nd, I believe it is, to consider what it is that God would have you do. Is it to run water around? Is it just to pray, to stand, and to pray with people that are being ministered to? To mow lawns, do landscaping, paint a house, all of it. You're not going to be up on a roof. They do leave that to the professionals. But if you want to do some of these other things, these are the kinds of things that we come together with the body of Christ across Western New York and, as I said, across many, many states, that it's already filling up. Buffalo is one of these places people just love to come to. The city of Buffalo has been amazing to work with. strangely enough. Amazing to work with. It's a yes every single time for Steve Tiber. And they just have come along, and they just work with us. They promote it, and I suggest that you consider this as an opportunity. Some of you have been out there before. Get used by God. Get changed by God. Okay? That's it.
Amen. Thanks. Jack? So as I mentioned, yesterday's focus for the mid-year meeting of Frontier Baptist Association was prayer. And if you were at our business meeting last week, or 2 weeks ago, excuse me, you heard us talk about the fact that we think our priorities ought to be first and foremost to be in God's Word, to be studying, to be memorizing, to be learning, to be changed by it. And the second is to be in prayer. And so we have added over the past few months a time of prayer for prayer concerns that are raised. Normally we do that at the end of the service, but we have some other things happening today. So Jack's going to pray for a couple prayer concerns that have come in and whatever else might be on his heart. We've invited other men to be doing this role, that more of us would be engaged in that form of ministry. In just a minute, I'm going to share a little bit from Scripture, and we'll talk about, as we did last week, praying Scripture. We've talked about that the last 2 weeks. Another aspect of prayer. How do you go about prayer? I don't know what to pray. Open your Bible, see what it says, and then pray about that. And so we're going to talk about that in a minute as well. But first, these prayer concerns. Jack?
And also, as you go to the Lord in prayer, we know that Holy Spirit will intercede with us as you bring these petitions before the Father. Today we have a few prayer requests, one from Karen Roberts, whose mother-in-law is having problems with nosebleeds because of the chemotherapy she's going through.
Her son's mother-in-law.
Karen's
son's mother-in-law.
Karen's son's mother-in-law.
Yeah.
Is having problems with nosebleeds because of the chemotherapy she's going through. Doctors will decide whether to cauterize that in the near future. Also, Sam Serrano, a young man that is usually with us for every service, that truly is on a journey of sanctification. We see that he loves the Lord and takes every opportunity to talk about him. And also, I'd like to bring up our sister, Mary Patrick, who's been ill for a while now with back problems. I know how that is. And it's a situation that it causes her to really almost stumble when she walks. And also, we have our brother, Norm Kimberly, I think he's here today, who's also having difficulties. Knee pain is he's been experiencing now for a while. And also, he needs some wisdom dealing with his apartment rental lease. So let's bring these individuals to in prayer right now. Father, we lift up Linda, and we ask you, Father, to touch her life, Lord. Just you can intervene, Lord, in a special way. You can stop the bleeding of her nose, just like you stopped the bleeding of that woman who touched the hem of Jesus' garment. We just thank you, Father, for ministering to her and just allowing her to be free from this infirmity that has plagued her body. We just thank you, Father, for your beautiful hands upon her life. Lord, if she doesn't know you at this time, Lord, just allow her to know where the strength and the power and the healing are coming from. We just thank you, Father, for ministering to her, rising her up out of the sick bed, Lord, and just allowing her to praise you for your healing. Glorify yourself through this, Lord. We ask this in the beautiful and precious name of Jesus. Also, we pray for Sam Serrano, a young man that is not feeling well at this time, Lord. We see him so often, Lord, and he's always an encouragement to us, Lord. But we ask you, Lord, to touch him in the infirmity, whatever that infirmity is that struck his body, Lord, that causes him to be ill. We just thank you, Father, for raising him up out of the sick bed. We thank you, Lord, for ministering to our brother Norm, Lord, and the knee pain that he's experienced at this time. Whatever's causing that, Lord, we ask you, Lord, for your touch upon his life. Minister to him, Lord. Allow him to feel the full relief that in a very short time. Also, give him wisdom, Lord, dealing with the apartment situation, Lord. Just allow him to be wise and make the decision that will come from directly from your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for leading him in that area. Lord, I ask you to touch my sister, Mary Patrick, with their infirmity. with her back problems, Lord. We ask you, Father, that you touch her in a special way, Lord. Allow her to be raised up, Lord, be able to walk safely again. Lord, we thank you, Father, for her presence here in our association and in our congregation. We just thank you, Father, for the joy she brings us by her presence here. Thank you, Lord, for the words of wisdom she speaks to us as individuals and as a class. So we ask you, Father, for you to touch upon her life in a beautiful way. Also, Lord, I'd like to bring up a fellow by the name, we call him Dr. Sam. I think his last name is Christy, a man from India, Lord, that has served you well even in India, but has been brought to the United States for as he follows your purposes for his life. Father, you have placed him in an interesting situation on Niagara Falls Boulevard, managing, of all things, a motel, Lord. But it's more than a managing of a motel that you have him there for, Lord. You have him there to minister to many people that are entering those rooms that are managed by him. We just thank you, Father, for the words that he shares with them, Lord, and the ministry that he proclaims, and the gospel that he proclaims in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for your touch upon that ministry. Allow it to grow and be manifested, Lord. Allow him to be directed by your Holy Spirit to the place you would have him placed, and maybe in a permanent situation. Father, we thank you for his spirit, and we ask you for your continual blessing upon his life. In all of these cases, Lord, whether it's healing or ministry or wisdom, Lord, we ask you, Lord, to show yourself great in all of these things. Above all, Lord, glorify your name. Glorify yourself through all these things. We count on that, Lord. We place all these things in your beautiful hands, and thank you for accomplishing these things according to your purposes. And we thank you for this in the matchless and beautiful name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Jack. One other prayer concern that I didn't remember to remind Jack about. Carol Young will be having hip surgery tomorrow, hip replacement. Is it tomorrow still, John? Yes. Pardon? Hopefully it'll be tomorrow. So keep that in prayer as well. I'll try to remember to pray for that later when we pray again, as we will. One other, I'll say, practical matter for those of you, particularly who are new guests with us today. After our normal service, which normally 9:45 to 11:15 or so, today it looks like it's going to run a little longer. Following that time, we have a time of, we call discussion and application, DNA. We're so clever. DNA, discussion and application. I invite you to be part of that. It's in small groups throughout the building. There's a ladies' class, there's a men's class, there's a couple co-ed, if you will, classes. There's classes for every age. Younger kids are more of in a Sunday school setting, but from young adults up, it's a conversation and a discussion about what we've just heard in the message, what scripture was shared, what testimonies were shared, where we were challenged, how we were encouraged, and an opportunity to do that in a smaller group. And perhaps today it's a time for additional folks to share testimonies in a smaller, more intimate situation. You might not be comfortable standing up in front of the congregation, but in that group of 10 or 15 or 4, you might be willing to share. So I wanted to point that out to you. You're welcome to stay with us today or any Sunday that you happen to be here. Donna mentioned the Sunday night Bible study in Experiencing God. That goes through May 21st, I think. Yeah, studying the seven realities of experiencing God. As Donna said, it's a great study. Laura and I participated back in 1998, 99, life-changing, really. It's why, back at that time, I was in the automotive industry, and now, obviously, I'm not. And so that study was one of those things that helped direct me. So I'd encourage you to be challenged by that and participate in that. That's tonight at 6:30, just across the hall. So then, in addition to the Sunday night study, 6:30 in person here, Anne also mentioned the Thursday night Zoom Bible study. That's in Romans. That's on Zoom. Imagine that. That's why we call it the Zoom Bible study. 7:30 on Thursday evenings. If you have received the email that has the links for this morning, it should have also included the link for DNA. For those of you are online, you can sign into my DNA class for adults. And then Thursday night, that Zoom link is also there. If you don't have it but want it, contact me, pastorscott@amherstbaptist.com, and I'll be sure you have that before Thursday evening. But we'd love to have you join us for that. Now, based on what we spent our day doing today, you'd say, well, maybe there's not a lot of scripture in this church. That's not the case. That just happens to be our format today because of all the testimonies. But we do want to focus on God's word. We do want to focus on prayer. And so I want to point you to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you have your Bible with you, open that up. And or there's a Bible in front of you in the pew or the chair that is the same translation as what I'll be using, Holman Christian Standard Bible. Just want to read a few brief verses here. That's clearly not the depth of scripture that we normally do on a Sunday morning, but this is just to introduce this topic about which I then want to pray. Our focus today has been on testimony. Our focus today has been on family, being united, asking God what he'd have you do, and then do that. And so this passage shares in that as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to jump into the middle of this. Perhaps wrongly, I'm going to presume most of you are familiar with this passage about one body and many parts, and God's brought us together to serve. But if we jump into verse 15, we have this passage that says, "If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body,' in spite of this, it still belongs to the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body,' in spite of this, it still belongs to the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But now God has placed the parts, each one of them, in the body just as he wanted. And if they were all the same part, where would the body be? Now there are many parts, but one body." And then it continues. "So the eye can't say to the hand, 'I don't need you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I don't need you.' On the contrary, all the more, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are necessary." And then we'll skip to the middle of verse 24. "God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the less honorable, so that there would be no division in the body, but that the members would have the same concern for each other. So if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it." And so this passage talking about the body is talking about the body of Christ, talking about the church. It is appropriately applied to the entire body, the church of God around the world, but it also applies in the local congregation. God has brought us all here and given us all a specific role, and we're to do what we've been called to do, and we're not to look at other people and say, "Well, I'm not like him, so I don't really belong here." And we're certainly not supposed to look at other people and say, "You're not like me, you don't belong here." Goes both ways. And if we're honest with ourselves, there are probably times when we feel both of those. We look at other people and say, "Oh, I could never do that." And so we scuff our feet and we drag our head and say, "Oh, I don't really belong." You belong here because God's brought you here. On the other hand, there's probably sometimes, if we're honest with ourselves, we're a little cocky about things. And I don't know why they're here. They don't add anything. That's not what Scripture says. The eye can't say, "I don't need you." Nor can the eye say, "Because I'm not this, I don't belong." And so as a body, as a church family, we want all of us to be doing exactly what God would have us do and being concerned for one another, suffering with one another when another suffers, rejoicing with another when another rejoices, as a body, in unity, in community, to develop and expand and express and demonstrate the kingdom of God so that those that see us look at us as a family and say, "That's what I need. That's what I want." Not to be a member of the family, but to know Christ, to be transformed by the Word, to be transformed by His Spirit, which only He can do. But we can make ourselves available to it, and we can have the right attitude about it as we go into it. So don't say you don't belong here. If God's brought you here, you do. Find what he'd have you do and do it well. And don't look at other people and say, "I don't know why they're here." That's not your place. Your place is to do what you're supposed to do lovingly, engagingly, if you will, invitingly, to bring others up and to be changed yourself to be like Christ. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. So I want to take time now, this idea of praying through Scripture. Be honest with yourself. Are there times when you feel too humble, I'll say? We're supposed to be humble. We're supposed to act in humility. I get that. But are there times when we are actually restricted because we're being just so humble. We don't have anything to add. It's just not true. Many people would take it to the point of saying it's just a lie from the pit of hell that you don't have something to offer. God has created you. He has called you. He has equipped you. He has positioned you to be in the family as He wants you to be. So let's take some time to pray about that from both sides of that. Am I sometimes too humble? Am I sometimes too proud? But allow Scripture to prompt you. What is it, God, what would you have me pray about today? Well, let's talk about our relationships with the church. Let's talk about our attitudes toward other people. And let's pray for those things. So I'm going to just leave it open for you. It's going to be quiet online. You guys can pray as well. Individually, approach the throne. God, what do you want me to learn from this passage? Are there times I'm too humble? Are there times I'm too proud? Are there others I can help see their way through these same kind of issues without being too proud? Let's pray. Lord God, we praise you as maker of heaven and earth, creator and sustainer of all things, and loving Father who desires for us to have a relationship with you, who has made that possible through the sacrifice of Christ, and has called us into that relationship. We thank you for your word that you've given us to read, to study, to memorize, to contemplate and meditate upon. We thank you that you've promised that not only do we have it, but you've promised that it is useful for correction and rebuke and reproof and instruction and training in righteousness. Because you've called us to be righteous and you've made it possible for us to be righteous and you've declared for those who believe in Christ that they are righteous, even as we are not yet transformed into fully righteous and holy people. But that is your goal for us. And so we submit to that. We know that it's a process. We know that it will be complete when Christ returns. And so we submit ourselves to it. We pray that you'd protect us from Satan's attempts to get us in one ditch or the other. Either we're too humble or we're too proud. Lord, help us to walk with you in humility and in obedient service, allowing you to use us in each and every situation, each and every day, to be bold witnesses, to be compassionate caregivers, to demonstrate and express our love for you and our love for the people around us as we share the gospel, as we make disciples. Lord, teach us how to read your word so that it's not just information, but that is having an impact on us, that is revealing your character, your will, your purpose your plan for us. As we consider our church family, Lord, we pray that you would move each of us into the roles and responsibilities that you've called us to, the relationships that you would have us sacrifice ourselves for, that we would set aside our own desires, look out not only for our own desires, but also the interests of others, that we would be united, that we would be humble, that we would be faithful, and that we would be fruitful, that we would remain abiding in the vine to be fruitful, to bear much fruit. Lord, all these things we hear in your word, and that sometimes we pray those words and perhaps we're just saying the words. We pray that our hearts and minds would be fully engaged, fully surrendered to you, that our spirits would be transformed. We present ourselves as living sacrifices, Lord. Use our life this day, this week, this year to bring glory to you. Renew our minds, transform us, make us the people you want us to be. We thank you for our church family. We thank you for our concern for one another. We pray that you would deepen that, that you would protect us from Satan's attempts to point out people that are better than we are or not as good as we are, but instead that we would see each person as your creation, potentially your child, adopted into the family of God as they believe in Christ. And may we proclaim that boldly. We do thank you for the times of prayer we've had already today as we've submitted ourselves to you, as we've interceded for others. We do pray for Carol's surgery tomorrow, that it would go well. And for each of our hearts to be turned to you in a deeper and greater way this week for your glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right. My Filipino friends there last night, there was a reality that I wanted to make sure that I kept on repeating for them. I hope that you would hear it as being familiar to us, because it doesn't matter what scripture we're talking about, whenever God calls us to something, anything, a couple things, it's always going to be bigger than you. He doesn't call you to something that you can carry on your own. So let's just get over ourselves on that run, right? Right? We just got to get into his flow. He says, I will empower you by my spirit to do that. Right? That wasn't the first thing. The first thing, though, was for why does he do that? Because it's for his glory. It's number one. Everything. The body of Christ, all many parts, that's great. But if we think it's all just about building Amherst Baptist Church, you got the wrong idea. Many parts of the body for one purpose, and that is for his glory. Second purpose is for his kingdom. It's all about him. It's for his glory and for the building of his kingdom. Every single time, folks.